of the things that we've already taught, and kind of cementing those things in our heads and helping us to remember what the series was about all the way through. And we learned in these chapters, first of all, that Jesus is superior to all things. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find out that he was superior to the angels. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, that he was superior to Moses. He was superior to the law. And in chapter 4, he was superior to the Sabbath. He gave us real rest. And we didn't have time to go through chapter 5 all the way to chapter 10. But I am glad that y'all did chapter 10. And a good part of the Word of God was shared during the communion from the book of Hebrews. And many of you have told me that you've read the book of Hebrews. And so I'm glad that the Lord's working Hebrews in our lives and our hearts. But we find that this same theme from chapter 1 runs all the way through chapter 10, is that Jesus is superior over the priesthood. He's superior with his qualifications. He's got greater qualifications. He has and was the superior sacrifice, and that he has a superior eternal priesthood. And so the first 10 chapters, we have to understand, deals with the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, in all things, the Lord Jesus must have preeminence. He needs to have preeminence in every one of our lives. Now, we have understood, as we have studied this book, that the Jews were wavering. They were thinking about going back to the old way, to the law, and to the sacrificial offerings. But the Holy Spirit wanted to direct their hearts to the right way. And what is the best way to direct people's hearts? The best way to direct people's hearts is to show them the Lord Jesus. And we have to understand, and they had to understand, that all those things in the law, and all those things in the ceremonial law, and all those things that Moses represent, and the Levitical law, and the Levitical priesthood, were shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ, and him coming as the Messiah. So in order for chapters 11 to 13 to bring fruit in our lives, we have to be grounded in the first 10 chapters of the book of Hebrews. So let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us to understand his word and to open our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the wonderful way that you've spoken to us through a song, and Lord, how you spoke to us through this hymn history. And Father, now we are breaking open the Word of God, and we pray now that you would help us to understand. Lord, I pray that these 10 chapters of Hebrews may be written upon our hearts, that we may understand, and that Jesus would be more preeminent in our lives, in everything that we do and say, in everything that we live for, that it's for your glory and for your glory alone. So, Father, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do, but we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When our faith is founded in the Lord Jesus, then our lives change. Has your life changed since you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? It might not have changed to the point where the Bible says that you need to be there, but it's a gradual change, isn't it? You're not the same way that you were when you were first saved. Now you have matured in Christ. And you understand more and more now about the scriptures than you ever have, as you have submitted to the Word of God, and as you've had the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you. And now some of the things that you used to do, you don't do them anymore, because God's given you light on those things. You've become a new creature in Christ Jesus, And things are changing, and you are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, in Hebrews, we said chapter 8 and verse number 1 was the key verse to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 1, the scripture says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." This is the sum of all things. What this writer was saying, you take chapter 1 plus chapter 2 plus chapter 3 plus chapter 4 plus chapter 5 plus chapter 6 plus chapter 7, and it equals chapter 8. Which that Jesus is the main point. He is the person of our faith. This is the person that we are looking at. This is the person that the book of Hebrews is trying to get us, this generation, to understand that we are looking to Him. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. Many of you can probably quote that. Verse number 19 says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and He saved us from our sin, and we were born into the family of God, now we are living by His faith. We are living by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the Jews and Hebrews, if we begin to lose confidence in what's going on in our lives, then we've gotten to the point where we've actually taken our eyes off the Lord Jesus. You know, and this is what we were talking about last week, that when anxiety and depression and all these things, and we start thinking that nothing is possible, then why is God doing this to me? And the only reason that we begin to feel this way, the only reason that we start going into this deep depression, is for the fact that we've gotten our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when something comes into my life, you know, the first thing I think of is I say, "Lord, is this something that you're having to do in my life? Because I've sinned against you." And I ask God right away, if there's some sin in my life that I am doing secretly, that I don't even know, or that I have done openly and I forgot about it, I didn't know it was sin, I want you to forgive me of my sin. And I take the consequences of whatever that sin may bring. That's what happens, isn't it? When we sin against God, we as Christians, we have to understand we can be forgiven our sins, but sometimes there's consequences to our sins, and those consequences must take their end degree. But the fact of the matter is that we cannot let those things that are going on in our lives, those things that are going around us, those things that are happening to our family, those things that are happening to our country, those things that are happening to our church, those things that are happening in the schools, we can't let any of those things get our eyes off the Lord Jesus. Because it's He who can fix those things. Jesus stops being the main point when we allow adversity to become the main point. And we get our eyes off the Lord. And before you know, we're backslidden. We're not doing what God wants us to do. Now, we're going to talk about Hebrews chapter 11. And matter of fact, I'm going to do some responsive reading today. We're going to read chapter 11 today, but I want to help you to understand about chapter 11, why it's there. And everybody knows that chapter 11 is what? The chapter on faith. But after chapter 11, when God lists all those people and all the things that they have done in their life, he puts Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 in. It's in a strategic part of the Bible in the book of Hebrews. Because sometimes we as Christians have the ability to look on human beings and see what they have done. But Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So at the end of chapter 11, he doesn't tell us to go back and look at all those people in chapter 11 and mimic what they are doing. He doesn't do that. You know why? Because Hebrews 12:2 says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have those beautiful verses that we just read, that we are now living by the faith of the Son of God. And everything that we do by his power. Now, does everybody understand what responsive reading is? Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 1, and then all of you read verse 2, and we'll do that all the way till verse number 30. All right, so that's 15 verses for me and 15 verses for you. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
For by it the elders obtained a good report.
Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Our faith and Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained forgiveness, that he was righteous, for God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead in the spirit.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the Lord of heaven.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went.
By faith, he sojourned into the land of promise, as in the strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Therefore sprang there even of one, and in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned.
But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure.
By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come.
By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff.
By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter,
choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Seeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them.
By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, the same to do, were drowned.
By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is a tremendous reading of faith and what faith is. You know, I kind of like to describe this as that these people weren't men and women of great faith, but their faith was based on a great God. And we can do what no man can do if we base our faith on a great God. And that's what these people were doing. They did what they did. They acted as they did. They went forward as they did. Not because of who they were. Not because they had this unusual power of having such great faith. These people were just like you and me. And they had the same God that we have. And we can see God do great things in our life if we continue to believe that he is the God that can do them. Yeah. You know, that is so important, that these people believe in the God of faith, the person that gave them this wonderful faith, because they saw all the wonderful things that he had done and the power that he had. And then they moved, believing that God can do. You know, the more that we live by the faith of the Son of God, we begin to see the possibilities rather than the obstacles. You know, don't you find yourself talking about the obstacles? No, I've got to say, I spend a lot of time talking about obstacles. But you know, our God is the God of the obstacle. He can put obstacles in our way. And then He can take the obstacles out. But our God is a great, great God. In difficulties, we should know that God has a solution. And this is why we pray, isn't it? Because we know that God has the solution. Now, it's funny because we know that, but many times we don't turn to prayer first. We usually go, well, what can I do? How can I handle this? And then we start running. And then all of a sudden we get started feeling full of anxiety and fear and all those different types of things because it's not working out like we thought it was going to work out. And it's because we did not go to God in prayer first. In problems, we can see the possibility of victories. You know, don't you see the possibility of victories in your life now because of who God is? When we see mountains of adversity, how many of you have had mountains of adversity? All of a sudden, when we're believing in this great God, we start seeing heavenly excavators that can actually take those mountains down. Do you still believe that God can move mountains?
Yes.
I do. I believe that God can move mountains. When we are the ones that can see that there's rivers that have to be crossed, gigantic rivers. And if you're like me and you can't swim very well, you might be feeling full of fear. But you know, I serve a God that can build the bridges where we can get to the other side. And lo and behold, He's a God that can actually open up the rivers. He can open up the seas and we can go across on dry ground. I'm talking spiritually now, but I'm talking about the things that we're going through in our lives today. Now you might be saying, Brother Ed, you're being a little bit too optimistic for me today. Isn't that a little bit of that positive thinking? No, it's not. It's faith in a God who can do everything. He can do anything. He can do all things. You know, Jeremiah chapter 32 and 37 is still in the Bible. Chapter 32 and verse number 37. Do you remember what it says? Where God says, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? There's nothing that's too hard for God. But you know what's so funny? Is that the way that we live sometimes, we think that something is too hard for God. And the reason that we feel that way is because we've gotten our eyes off of God, of great power, who created this earth and who can do anything and everything. You know, one thing that we found out last week when we looked at the obstacles, remember when we talked about the disciples and they started looking at the obstacles, they started looking at the storm, they started looking at the fact that they didn't have any bread, and what did Jesus say about them? He said they felt that way because their hearts were hard. And that's what happens to us when we begin to look at the obstacles rather than God who has victory over the obstacles. Because we've forgotten that God is faithful and that there's nothing too hard. He is given and allowing him. Now we've got to take it back. Don't we want to take it back? We give it to him, and then we want to take it back. God is able. He's clear. Too hard. Now, when we think about chapter 11. We just read it. And we saw the history from the very beginning to all the way up to verse number 30, where it talks about by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Am I good without it?
Yeah, come into my.
So if God would have come to you and said, I want you to choose some people to put in the chapter 11 Hall of Fame. Now who would you put in there? Who would you put in there? Did you notice that some people are missing? There's some people that were missing that I thought, man, if God would have asked me, I would have put Job in there. No, I could have put Job in there. Would you put Job? How about Boaz? How about Ruth? You know, I just look at that and go, wow, that's amazing that these people were put in there. And yet God put some people in there that I wouldn't think that he would put in there. You know, he put Samson into the Hall of Faith in chapter 11. And you know what he did is he talked about Samson's faith. But he didn't talk about how Samson was rebellious against his parents and that he married a heathen girl. Only we as humans can remember that. He didn't put it into that Hall of Faith. How about Rahab? Would we have left Job out and put Rahab in? No, we would have gone, no, we're not going to put, let's make a consensus here. We're not going to put Rahab in here, all right? We're not going to do that. But God said, we're going to put Rahab in here. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't he merciful? Doesn't by putting Rahab in the Hall of Faith kind of bless your heart? And then he put Noah. We learned about Noah in Sunday school the other week, where Noah, he gets off the ark and he begins to start fixing wine and gets drunk, and his whole family and the whole nations are cursed because of something that he did. But Noah was put in. But God did not mention anything about Noah whatsoever. All he did was talk about what Noah did by faith. He put Abraham. Abraham disobeyed God. When he was told to go, he told him not to take his father. So what did Abraham do? He took his father. He was disobedient. But God doesn't mention that in Hebrews chapter 11 by this faith chapter. Jacob is the biggest schemer and liar that ever lived. He was a foot snatcher from the very time of birth. And yet, God said, let's put Jacob in the Hall of Faith. He put Sarah in there. Sarah laughed at the thought of having a child at an old age. And yet, God put her in there. And then, when she was confronted about her laughing, then she lied and she goes, I didn't laugh. Did she? Does she sound a lot like we are? I mean, you are? But you know, God's illustrations are perfect. And God did not record these people's sins in chapter 11. He recorded their faith. And he's recording our faith and how we're moving and going. Not one sin of an Old Testament saint is recorded that we can read in the New Testament. Not one mess up. Not one. They're all gone. And that is a great comfort to me. You ask me why? Because faith in Jesus clears the believer's record of failures and unbelief, and it is put away forever. That'll make a Baptist shout. Don't you think? Hallelujah! Glory to God! Our sins are gone. Now, this is a promise. This is a promise that God gave Israel. He told them that this was going to be the way that He handled their lives. You don't have to turn this. I have written so that we could save a little bit of time this morning. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 16 and 17. The Lord says that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. God says he's going to hide these things from my eyes. And he says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered. Now listen to this. Nor come to mind. Have you ever thought about that? That the past won't come to mind when we're in that glorious city? And it's gone. That's the one thing that's bad about the mind, isn't it? The one thing that's bad about the mind is, well, we don't remember our sins too much, but we remember everybody else's. But there's going to be a day when we won't remember theirs. And they're not going to remember ours. What a day that's going to be. How can this be possible? Well, Hebrews 9:25 says, matter of fact, you can actually slip back to there because we're close to Hebrews 9:25. Hebrews 9:25 says, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin. Put away sin. By the sacrifice of himself. Our sins have been put away. Is that awesome or what? We used to sing this song when we were children at church. Maybe you have too. I tried to sing it to my wife last night, and she said, you might just read that. Because we had two songs, and we couldn't get the tune for her. She was thinking about singing one in Sunday school. Did you ever sing it? No. Good idea. But you'll probably remember this. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea, yet that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, God. Amen. We learned that when we were children, and yet we forget that as we are adults, that our sins are gone. They're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet our mind keeps on trying to remember them. But when your mind comes up and tries to remember those things in the past, you just say to God, I want to thank you that you remember them no more. God says he's not going to remember them any. Now, I have heard some preachers who say they believe the Bible. And they go, well, you know, God knows everything. And so, therefore, he has to be able to remember our sins. But the Bible says that he remembers them no more. And I'm not going to believe a preacher who says that he's got to remember them. Because if God chooses not to remember them, he doesn't remember them. And he remembers them no more. One of the great examples in this chapter, that sometimes when we read through a chapter, we read through it, and it's just like what you were saying today about reading through all those names and places and things. It doesn't really go into our heads until we read someplace else and we go, wait a minute, I saw that in another place. But in verse 29 and verse number 30 of Hebrews, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. The Egyptians tried to do it too, but they were drowned. And then verse number 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, as a clear reading of that, you start thinking, there was a big period of time between verse 29 and verse number 30. And you know what the time was? It was 40 years of unbelief. 40 years of unbelief was left out between verses 29 and verse number 30, because God decided he would remember nor mention Israel's sin anymore. And so we don't have a record of their sin, but we have a record of their faith. Romans 14:23 says, for whatever is not of faith is sin. And so the time that they lived, in that 40 years, they were walking around not in faith, not trusting God, and it was a sin. Hebrews chapter 11 is a proof text of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 11 is a proof text of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12. Hebrews 11 records the faith of those believers that followed after God. But in verse number 12 of chapter 8, it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more. And Hebrews 11 is an illustration that he proved that what he says, he does. And I can tell you today that God said he'll not remember your sin.
To transgress and walk in our own ways, but help us to follow you all things that we might have a reward laid up in heaven for us. Lord, we pray your blessings on the sins and on their ministry, both on the south side of the city and also in every place in which they preach and teach. Lord, we pray that you would bless them greatly, that you would strengthen them for that work, and Lord, that you might reward them greatly for their labors here among us. We're thankful for them. These things we ask in Jesus' name.
Thank you.